T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
It's a Tuesday edition of OMF with Lou Merlone.
Little toke toke, little bunt right here.
Christian Fourier.
What would Ty Cobb say right now? He'd be all so upset.
And Glenn Ordway.
A lot of Satan worshiping going on.
Danny Ainge got to call the Celtics loss to the Bulls last night. Danny, did you have fun?
I did not have fun, no.
Don Sweeney made the steal of the trade deadline in acquiring Taylor Hall. Are the Bruins a dangerous playoff team?
Welcome aboard!
No more day baseball means we're back to normal with Big Deal, No Big Deal at 4:30. Now it's time for OMF.
This is ludicrous.
On EEI.
Oh, there's the big fella.
There he is.
Pushing his, we see him, but we can't hear him. Pushing buttons.
That's all right. Get some MFers right now. We got Ordway, some technical difficulties. Happy 420, everybody. It's a glorious day here in Boston. It's, what, 70 degrees?
It is nice.
I'm styling, even though the Celtics lost a game last night that I'm not happy about.
Really?
I know we want to start with that. We got a lot to get to here today.
Since that's the case, why don't you just go ahead and tell me why you weren't happy with the loss? I mean, because they've lost games before, and they had a nice long winning streak. You know, what was the issue last night?
What was the issue? I think, listen, I know you were down a bunch of people. We get it. I understand that. But when you're tied late, and I always say this, you know, you're tied late sometimes. You know, if you let a team with good players, great players, whatever you want to call them, some would call them even top 10. Someone on the other side of the glass might even call a guy a top 10 player, Jason Tatum. And it's close late. You expect, okay, now it's time for the Stars to take you over the hump. 3-4 minutes. I don't expect, you know, the turnovers late from your Stars. I don't expect that from these guys. I expect them to actually finish the game in a game that maybe you should win. That's all.
No,
my opinion doesn't change of this Celtics team, but the way that game ended,
yeah.
I'm just living with every single game to entertain me. That's it. This is what sports is to me. Just entertain me. I watched that game. They should have won that game. They should have won it, in my opinion.
Well, no.
And that was the disappointing part, because I'm watching Tatum and Brown just turning the ball over late, thinking, that's not. I've seen Romeo Langford playing the role of Marcus Smart.
There
taking
you go
a couple
again.
Of shots.
Okay,
it wasn't fun for me.
So they go on a winning streak. They won a bunch of games, and Tatum's, you know, scoring 40, and oh, man, and, you know, Steph Curry's, you know, talking about how the game is slowing down for him, and everybody's impressed, right? Everybody's excited about it. Now he's showing up. Now he's taking over games. And all those issues that happened earlier in the year aren't affecting them anymore. Okay, I give him a pass for this one, for the fact that they didn't have they were without a lot of their guys. But the way the game ended just proves that nothing has changed. You talk about turnovers. Tatum alone, 4 unforced turnovers inside 8 minutes. To the point where it was like he was just shrugging his shoulders. Like, to me, that is my biggest pet peeve going. You just waste possessions. You waste it. You throw them away. And it's so careless and it's so reckless. It drives me insane, because especially when you're playing an inferior team, all you do is just give them extra opportunities. Give them more motivation. Let them believe that they do belong there. The Bulls do not belong with them. They should not be hanging with them. But yet, here we are waiting for Jaylen Brown and Pritchard to sit there and knock down three-pointers so you can tie the game up inside 3 minutes.
I mean, they didn't have Zach LaVine. And I know Danny's talking about we got 4 guys out. I get it. There's no question about it. But I just think when the game is tied and it's late, you sit there and say, okay, now Tatum and Brown sort of take you home. And it didn't happen. Now our big fella Glenn Ordway, he's back in the house.
Hi, fellas.
How'd you feel about that?
I get
win?
That. Hold on. Excuse me. I thought that was awful last night. That, for the 6-game winning streak, that sets you right back. And I know there were guys that were out, but Kemba's missed games. He's missed the second night of back-to-backs. We've gone through that. Do we have to go through the Marcus Smart experiment again, all over again? No. The turnovers were the killer last night. Handling the ball was a killer last night. And defense, at times, was invisible. So, yeah, that was a bad loss.
But it's who they are, though, Glenn, right?
It's who they are.
I think a lot of people got kind of bamboozled, you know, based on the fact that they were going on this winning streak. And you thought that all those issues that plagued them in the fourth quarter and late in games against, you know, competitive teams was gone. It's the same old issues all over again. Like, you should be able to beat that team with all those guys out. You should. If you just played a somewhat clean game, just you know, instead of four turnovers inside 8 minutes, Jason Tatum, how about two? Just two.
Well, no, that's it. That's what I'm saying. That's the frustration. Even they won six straight, so your opinion changed. No, okay, my opinion is that they should win the first round and that they should lose the second round. And the way they've been playing lately, I think it should be more competitive. You know, so that's kind of where I'm at with this team. So last night doesn't change the overall picture. It's just that last night, with all the guys that you have out, and again, Zach LaVine wasn't playing for them, I just feel like late.
Who's their best player?
Late in that game, that's when I expect Tatum and Brown to sort of take over and win that game. They're two good, very good players. Again, some people might think they're top 10, or one of them is. But I think they're two very good players that I expect to not just unforce turnovers. You know, just come down the court on three pretty much possessions and be like, here's the ball. And next thing you know, you go from a tie game to down six. Like, that was tough to watch.
Three times driving in the lane, had the ball stripped, right? Three times they did it. Was it
Brown
Tatum?
A couple times?
Brown, a couple times with Brown. Late in the game. So that is a game that you must win. The goal right now, you've got 14 left to play. The goal now is to get that fourth seed. That's what you need to get. You can't be a 6 or 7 or 8.
See, that to me, it's like when people talk about how they're easy to defend, like that was kind of like the reminder again. And Billy Donovan did a great job.
Yeah, well, shut down Tatum.
Late in the fourth quarter, these guys, you know, shut them down. They're gonna try to take it to the hole, close it up. There's three guys waiting. They will try to force it. They will try to force it. And they did. And they turned the ball over. You know, so it was just, man, you got three guys kind of clamping down on you. They're not letting you take it to the basket. And three times they took it in there and turned the ball over rather than, you know, kick it out. What I mean, listen, I know the supporting cast isn't there, but it's just that was just a couple, three, four bad possessions in a close game late. You don't want to see. You don't want to see from this group. I want to see him start turning the corner.
Lou, you're using Trepont Waters late in
and
the game.
And he was great for you. He's the only reason why you were close there.
Yeah, because Pritchard couldn't handle the ball. He was having difficulty handling the ball. Shooting was okay, but his handling of the ball was poor, and that was a major issue they had. Because you're right, the Bulls came in and said, you know what? We're going to shut down Tatum. Tatum is the hottest shooter in the league right now, other than Steph Curry, maybe, and we're going to shut him down. They did that and said somebody else is going to have to beat us, and nobody did, and that's a problem.
Well, the thing is, like, I love the playing the understudy to Marcus Smart, Romeo being Romeo Langford. I mean, that is a great one.
Romy.
I tell you, yeah, Romy. Sorry, Romy. It is funny though because it's just the same ending, just with a different cast. It's just the understudy, you know, became that guy that's shooting the shot that you don't want him to shoot. It's just, I don't understand why, regardless of who you're playing, the situations always end up being the same in the end.
Well, and I hate the excuse when a game is over and they come out, well, you know, four of our top seven players weren't playing. Well, it's been like this all year long. And it probably is going to continue to be like that for the next 14 games. And who knows, maybe in the playoffs as well. How are you suddenly going to cure all of these injuries and colds and flu and whatever else? I'm not sure it's going to happen.
But, you know, the other thing, though, that kind of made last night difficult, too. Because, you know, listen, they have been a good run. They've been entertaining. I liked watching them. Last night I got a little frustrated. But, you know, adding to that was watching Nikola Vucevic on the Bulls.
Boy,
like, adding to the frustration.
Why would that bug you?
Because he took over the game and you could have had him.
Because you watch him and you sit there saying, good God, this guy was like a sleeper. Like, they weren't even talking about trading him. They're talking about trading everybody else down in Orlando. They didn't even know this guy was available. Next thing you know, boom, the Bulls pulled it off. They end up giving up two first-round picks. And I think the kid Porter or whatever it was, the other big. And we all sort of the day after he got traded, you're like, man, Danny couldn't got involved with that. He couldn't have spiced this thing up a little bit to just bring this guy. And Glenn, I'm sure that had to kill you watching him last night.
He took over the game. I love his game, and I love his game with the Celtics. And I'll tell you why, because it's an inside-outside game. So he takes it to the hole. He takes it down on the block. He is a terror down there. And where does he go? Back out into the perimeter with wide-open jump shooters. That's what he does. And he can shoot from the outside. I love his game. And he's a rebounder off the offensive glass. How many second opportunities did he give that team last night? Look at him with the personnel you have on the Celtics. And tell me the Celtics wouldn't be looked at as a contender right now with Vucevic on the team. I'm sorry. Well,
you got Jabari Parker. Evan Fournier.
I like him.
Yeah, I know. I like him, too.
I like him, too. I like to see him
fine.
More.
He's fine. They're not Vucevic.
Yeah,
Vucevic
exactly.
is an all-star player, and he changes. And you're going to have to go through bigs. And I'm not saying that, you know, he's going to have a great series against Embiid, but at least he doesn't embarrass himself against Embiid. He's scoring at the other end. And your problem, we've already seen it. What are you doing in a series against Embiid? You've already tried Rob Williams out there, and he got tortured. The Vukovic thing really drove me crazy last night watching him play. It really did, because he is exactly what the Celtics need. You mentioned Danny Ainge. Danny Ainge was part of the broadcast last night.
Sure was.
Some people, I tell you, are just absolutely ripping him and Scal. They were doing so with social media. We'll give you our 2 cents on what we thought about the television broadcast last night. We got big deal or no big deal as well. It's a full 4 hours. Well, I'm putting in 3 hours and 54 minutes
yep.
here on OMF.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Top wide open. They're going to tie it.
Again?
Oh, short again. Danny comments.
It's hard. When the guy's in offense and a strong guy like that is, he's just going to beast you.
Tatum posting up against the clock. Does that he know it? I don't know if he knows it. Danny comments.
You don't have to play together to know that there's a certain amount of time on the clock, and it's got to be communicated by everybody before the ball's even inbounded.
Danny comments.
We got to get back and get the rebound.
Danny comments.
Come on, defense.
Don't know how. Brown got free. Danny comments.
Because we're not matching up in transition.
Jason Tatum's first career triple-double. Danny comments.
How is that, like, not a foul or traveling or something?
That should have been something, right? Danny comments.
The communication is so bad right now.
Danny comments.
One-point game. We're still talking about defensive pick and rolls and keeping them off the glass.
Tatum kicks it. Williams. Danny comments.
Move it.
How about Jason Tatum, first career triple-double? Danny comments.
Well, we need about 6 more points out of him.
Did you have fun? Danny comments.
I did not have fun. No. I did not enjoy it.
So were Danny's comments too critical for the Green Teamers last night? I just saw a lot of them ripping the broadcast last night with Scal and Danny. I liked it. I like to hear it every single game, every single night? No.
Just for the record, though, I mean, give me another organization, another basketball team that's going to have their GM, their president of basketball operations, sit in on a local telecast and be the color commentator for the entire game.
Do you know that it used to happen all the time?
When?
Red Auerbach and Tommy Heinsohn were at one time the television broadcast team for the Boston Celtics.
Modern day. It doesn't happen.
I think it's. I liked it.
So did I.
I thought it was.
And I thought it was
the criticism.
I thought it was difficult. You know, when you're sort of thinking about, like, I'm sure there was a lot of discussions going into that game about what we're going to be able to talk about, what we can and can't talk about, and obviously Danny can't talk about any of the other players. I remember early in the game, they left. I think it was a kid, White, Kobe White, like wide open for a three, and he's like, "Can't do that. He's too good of a shooter." And then I don't know if somebody was like, oh, jabbed him, was like, can't say that. Can't even say he's a good shooter. Because he didn't comment about anything, any player in the Bulls. He couldn't.
Any comments?
Right? He couldn't talk about. Yeah. You'd love to have the GM on there and say, oh, look at Vucevic. He's going nuts.
Yeah. I really
so, Danny, how much
deal
did you
up.
Get involved in that deal? Anyway? No, but you can't. Like, Tice, it's just a trade. It's there's only so much he could do, which makes it really hard on a guy like Scal, who's not a play-by-play guy at all. But he was sort of left out there for a while, too, because there's certain things Danny couldn't talk about.
Listen,
thought it was good.
Yeah, I don't think people realize how difficult that was, probably, for Scalabrine. First of all, just to fill in and do the play-by-play when you've never done it before. Though they did a game a couple weeks ago, right, in which he was involved in it.
He's done it with Mannix, yeah.
With Mannix. But this is a difficult thing for him to do. And then you're doing it with the general manager, who is limited to what he can say. I thought Scal did a really good job.
So did I.
I
don't know what the criticism was. And again, I tell you, I liked, because I'm sure Ainge was, for the most part, like, wanted to be respectful, wanted to be, you know, we didn't want to be a jerk, especially,
I'm
or
not sure
show
Grant
any
Williams
emotion.
Feels that way today.
Well, I mean, because think about how, like, and he's watching it and he's getting disgusted in a couple instances.
He's getting
sick of it.
Move it.
Yeah. I mean, it's like, yeah, move. What are you doing? Move the ball. Oh, you
Grant
can't
Williams.
Do that. You know, so. That to me is what was valuable in that, and I know they did it back in the old days, but for to have a president of basketball operations sit there during a regular season game, like where, you know, like not like a preseason game, where like, hey, come in for a quarter, let's talk about the offseason, talk about some of the draft picks, not a summer league game. Like a regular season game.
Well, it's different today in that you can, you know, fine presidents, general managers, or whatever. In the old days, Red used to rip the crap out of the officials while the game was going on. And so it's a little bit different in how the rules are structured. But let's also remember, you're asking two guys, and Danny's done, you know, analyst work before on networks, and Scal obviously does it locally, but they were in two different locations. Danny was on the floor, and Scal was off in a different location.
That's right.
So, and that is not easy when you don't know when the guy's going to pop in and you've never done this before.
So why don't they call
you? I thought
you?
It was good. I don't understand the criticism.
Why don't you dust off your old microphone?
I saw Sean Grandy did a game here a week and a half ago, 2 weeks
I mean,
ago.
He does it all the time. He does them on the radio, but TV.
No, but they brought him over to TV. But I don't
Gary
understand.
Scott's drive spins, has the ball plucked loose, but Woolridge picks it up.
Okay.
Woolridge extends it out of the right wing, sees it opening. Katz kicks it back out to Barrels.
Boy, you won't shut up.
Sounds familiar. Love that too, huh?
He's like, taken away by Murdoch.
Play by play.
Murdoch quicks it up, gets it to the baseline.
My voice is up a couple of blocks.
You sound like Bobby Brady.
Nobody interrupted him. He could just play by play. He could just sit there and talk.
Wait for a dead ball.
So, but I liked it last night, and I don't understand why. And it seemed to me they were Celtic fans who were critical. Why? Because Danny was critical of the team. If anything, if I'm a Celtic fan, I'm sitting there going, Danny really cares. He really cares. He's pissed off because the team is not winning. And at the end, he said, no, I didn't have any fun. If they won the game, what do you think his answer
did you have fun? No, I did not have fun. No. I did not enjoy it.
I want to get to this.
Not fun at all.
I want to get to Brad Stevens for a second because I thought he gave an interesting answer when the game was over. So you remember the story yesterday. Here's Adrian Wojnarowski.
In that Indiana University job that opened a few weeks ago, I was told that Indiana was prepared to offer him 7 years, $70 million.
Whoa, Elizabeth, I'm coming to join you, hon. Hey, Juwan, you hear that?
Man.
Prepared to offer Brad Stevens 7 years and 70 million. Prepared is the word. This is Brad Stevens after the game last night.
First of all, I was never offered a package, so that's all news to me. Secondly, you know, I wasn't going to leave anyways. And the reason being is because this place, regardless if it was a pro organization or a college, has been so good to our family, so good to me. And we owe them, especially in the middle of it at the time, a very trying season, you know, that is right in the middle of a pandemic. We owe them to stay the course. I don't know how long I'm going to, you know, coach in the NBA. I don't know how long they'll want me to coach in the NBA. Don't know what I'll do after that. Maybe I'll figure out something new. But right now, I'm thrilled and to be the Celtics head coach. And it is a great challenge and a great responsibility.
So, first of all, he claims he was never offered 7 years, $70 million. Wojnarowski never said that. He said Indiana was prepared to offer Brad Stevens 7 years and $70 million. And from what I heard, Stevens was not interested in the job right from the get-go, maybe because he likes coaching in the NBA, maybe he doesn't have to do all those silly-ass recruiting trips that you have to do when you're a college coach. Now, I don't know. The NBA is a lot easier than what you have to do in the college ranks, and that's a program that you need to turn around or the people are going to turn on you. But did he not say right now he's happy here? Is that what he said right now?
I didn't read into that being like your traditional, like, you know, right now he's a starting quarterback. Like that whole thing.
Here's the thing that took me back.
He talks about all the year. Like, I would never do it right now given the year, pandemic year, everything that's going on. So it's like, okay, well, when you get past the year, what you think about it?
Right, exactly.
I think this job is as cushy as it gets, though.
Yeah, I know.
But why would you go back to college? And you mentioned recruiting. What a nightmare. It's even worse now with these way these guys can transfer and they play right away. No way you should want to get when you have – you've been here forever. You've been to three out of the four last championships. And they're just going to sit there wait for you to kind of do it. That's it.
It does seem a lot more work now. I mean, now if you build a program up – and there's a lot of expectations in Indiana. You know, they want their team to be great. And if you build it up to the point where you are a great team in college basketball, then it seems like every year you got to keep recruiting because you're going to have some one and dones. If you're really good, you know, you're going to have one or two, right? Or guys aren't going to stick around. And it's every year bringing in another 17, 18-year-old kid. Every year recruiting a kid when he's 16 years old. Every year.
I was going to say, go younger.
Yeah, coaching the system, right? Whereas here in Boston, it's like, okay, we come into camp, and you know I got 10 guys that have already been here. And the other five or six, I got to kind of get them up to speed. But it's the same system. It's the same guys. I'm not worried about them leaving a year into it. They're going to the draft. There's free agency. But it just seems more stable.
Well, you have tremendous resources right now with all the private planes and everything else. It's just a lot easier than what you have to do in the college ranks. And, you know, he hasn't won anything, but he's got cachet in the league. So let's say a year from now, 2 years from now, because I don't think they're going to get rid of him quickly here. I think he's going to be here for a long time. But let's say they do down the road, a year, 2 years from now. You don't think he's getting another job in the league? We know how that works. Doc Rivers had a miserable experience with the Clippers. Did he have trouble finding employment after the Clippers job when he got fired? No. And I think the same thing happens with Brad Stevens. Going to Indiana, and I'm sorry, Tyler, there's pressure there in that is a, you know, legendary program, and he's going to be forced to win and win right away. And I don't think any of this stuff is easy when you have to go back to recruiting and everything else. But I thought his whole, you know, we're staying here in the pandemic, and I'm not going to believe anybody. He's giving us the whole line of loyalty. I think if a player had said something like that, we'd probably be more critical of it than a coach saying it.
I know we have to break, but I found it interesting that Woj reported 7 years, $70 million was the prepared offer for Brad Stevens. You know what they gave Mike Woodson, the former Knicks head coach who now currently coaches Indiana?
20?
6 years for $18 million.
18, yeah.
They were going to give Brad 7 for 70.
Oh, he's better. I don't know who that was. We're talking about Juwan Howard. Pay attention, right? What he did in Michigan last year. It's like, maybe you should get an extension.
Right.
Maybe you should live up in there somewhere, Juwan. You had a very good year, but it ain't going
to
happen.
All right, we're going to get to the NFL drafted. I tell you, we're 9 days away now from the big event. It's next Thursday. They kick it off Thursday night. Yep. You hear all those sound effects coming up next Thursday. Tommy Kerens had an interesting thing to say today with Gresh and Keefe about the Patriots' plans. We'll get to that and some of the analysts and how they see the Patriots in the draft. It's coming up next right here on OMF.
Lou is on Twitter at Lou Merlone.
I have so many gifts, personally, that in order to come in and do radio with you two, I have to dumb it down.
Back to OMF on WEEI.
Nine days and counting. We getting excited yet? It is a big deal in New England.
It's a big deal.
Big deal.
One of the biggest drafts that I can remember as far as what we think. Well, see, here's the thing. I think a lot of people think this is like franchise altering, franchise changing.
I hope so.
Like a foundational player that will be here forever. Like, this is Drew Bledsoe.
I hope so.
He's one of those guys.
That's the plan. If not, we'll just kind of continue the pace and just live it 9-8, 10-7.
I don't think it'll be that, but I do think you're getting your hopes up. I feel like it's going to be a big time sad trombone wah wah wah.
They usually are.
Yeah, I would
say. Well, yeah. I mean, you know, that's just the way life goes, huh? You just never really get what you want.
So let me give you a little bit of hope, Lou. Our buddy Mel Kiper, who will join us tomorrow as we continue taking you right up to the draft next week with in-depth draft coverage, and Kiper's as good as anybody out there. So he's doing this little mock draft back and forth, a three-rounder with Todd McShay, Swampscott's own. And they're playing general manager, and they're alternating picks, even and odd, et cetera. And Kiper takes New England and trades up from 15 up to number 7 with Detroit. And with the pick at number 7, Mel Kiper takes Mac Jones.
Yep.
Now, this is interesting. It's interesting because I think he's basing it on his power chart of quarterbacks, correct? Because he's got Mac Jones down at number 5. Of the five quarterbacks.
Well, more importantly, he's got Justin Fields as the number 2 quarterback in the draft.
Going to 49ers.
So he picked first. He went Lawrence, then it went Wilson, and he's got Justin Fields, the second right quarterback in the draft.
Right.
So he gives him to San Francisco, which allows Mac Jones to fall in his. I don't know if that happens or not. If the Patriots trade up to 7 or 8 and go get a quarterback named Fields or Mac Jones or Trey Lance, I will be ecstatic.
Yeah, I think you're going to be miserable
most
next Friday, because
yes.
I don't think it's going to happen. I don't. I saw Mike Giardi tweet out today that talking around the league, people seem to be befuddled. They have no idea what the Patriots are going to do. So the Patriots probably have done a good job of just throwing out smoke here, there, and everywhere and getting people off the scent. But, Christian, you were talking about this yesterday. If the quarterbacks drop, and Lombardi thinks that 2 quarterbacks are going to drop between 10 and 20. You think one of them might drop out of the first round? And I do think that's possible, because we always do this. We get carried away with the quarterback position. And then when teams have to make that decision and they see a quality player up on the board and they sit there and say, nah, I'm not taking a quarterback. I'm not sure Bill takes a quarterback at 15, even if he has 1 or 2 of these guys sitting in his lap.
Let's just say you have one of the best. Let's just play this out. You have one of the best linebackers that have come out of college in the last 10 years. Let's say Micah Parsons is that guy. Use him as an example.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have these the top 5 quarterbacks. And then your Micah Parsons is a top 5 player. You have him ranked in the league. You have him as a top 5 player in the draft. Forget about position. He's top 5. Sure enough, all these desperate people wanting quarterbacks. Next thing you know, here comes Micah Parsons. You're going to pick Micah Parsons. Like, a guy like that has a high grade is going to, if he suddenly drops to you, you're going to take him, even though one of these quarterbacks could be waiting there for you. I think you'd be a fool. Like, if you have, let's say, Trey Lance, let's say any of the two that I think.
If the Patriots have a first round grade on these quarterbacks, and they think they're actually going to be really good, then pass on him?
No, I'm saying that they're going to pass on him, because even though they desperately need a quarterback, and even though these top 5 quarterbacks are what everyone's saying, or like transitional players and, you know, foundational guys, and they'll bring you to Super Bowls and, you know, start up the duck boats, that whole thing, Micah Parsons is a better football player and a better pick than the last 2 quarterbacks in the draft.
Who's the best linebacker in football right now?
The best?
I'll start with this. Who's the best corner in football right now?
Well, you can go Jalen Ramsey. Okay. You can go.
Who's the best defensive lineman in football?
I'll go Aaron Donald.
All right. What have they ever won? Give me the best linebacker
again,
in football.
But
what has he ever won?
Okay, so Jalen Ramsey.
And why haven't they won? Because they need Stafford, because they realize their quarterback sucks.
Okay, but again, you can go through history and overdraft these quarterbacks just because you're desperate, and this is where dumb decisions are made.
You're not desperate
in
enough.
In desperation. The Patriots are desperate, and they're not stupid. So they're not going to chase it. They're not going to force the issue. I would just say history proves that they won't. That's the thing. We forget who we're dealing with. If you're saying, okay, Cleveland, if you're talking about, I always use Jacksonville, and I'm sorry, Tyler, but it's the team that always comes to mind. I would even say Denver for some situations, Dallas in some situations.
Well, Buffalo spent 25 years trying to find that quarterback until they finally found one.
How many times? They're a great example. Think about Buffalo. They finally got their act together. They brought in a good coach. They brought in a good GM. They solidified their coaching staff. They took a shot on Josh Allen. They developed him. And then, you know, he had something to do with that.
So we think Buffalo.
But look how long it took for them.
I agree. But Buffalo, we admit, has been an absolute train wreck for a long time. You just admitted. They got a very good GM. They brought him in here. They got a very good coach, finally. I'm pretty sure you have that in place now. So is it a gamble? Of course it's a gamble. It's a gamble if you think that the guy in the third round is going to be any good. The odds are he won't. The odds are better. He'll be in the first round pick. He'll be good. But, yeah, you trust a coach. You trust a GM. You trust an offensive coordinator. And you sit there and say, yeah, Bill can develop these guys. So, and they keep searching for quarterbacks because they realize how important the position is. And that's what I keep coming back to. I don't know if Bill appreciates that enough.
I don't think he does.
I don't think and he feels it. Does that not scare you, though?
Yeah.
Do you really think that Bill Belichick can grab a mediocre play quarterback and win a championship? Because I don't.
Well, I think Christian just hit on it, though, and
it's
that is
before,
if you get to a Super Bowl, I don't.
Yeah, if you get
it's
a player,
been done
if
once.
You get a if you get a player that is high up on your board, and he's dropping down to 15, you're going to go for him versus that quarterback. We all know there are five quarterbacks out there, and there's a possibility that three of them will be nothing in the pros. Maybe four. Who the hell knows? There's too much of a risk there. When you're looking at those other players like Parsons and others that are high up on that board, the chances of those guys working for you are so much greater. I think Bill takes a lot of risk in the second round, and he has a lot of failure in the second round with that risk. I don't think he's going to take a risk at 15. I just don't see it happening.
Yeah, quarterbacks, I mean, we act like this. There's Brian Billick won a Super Bowl with a mediocre was being polite.
It's the outlier, though.
No. They're there's more. Outliers. John Gruden won one
Brad
with Tampa.
Johnson.
Brad Johnson. There's more. I just can't think of them off the top of my head. Those are
Nick
the first
Foles.
Two that come up. Nick Foles
no
but
sustainability
had a great game. And
no
he, but he peaked at the right time.
Yeah, but no sustainability.
Joe Flacco?
One and done. You get lucky, you're out. You're
Joe
done.
Flacco?
You never compete for it again.
Okay, but the
That's
point
all?
Is like, fine, you decide how you want to build your team. The idea that the Patriots or any team is going to have the opportunity to find that needle in a haystack, which is a sixth-round pick that turns into the best quarterback to ever play the game, is absurd.
You mean it won't happen again?
So no, I don't think it will. I don't think lightning will strike twice.
Well,
okay,
too bad.
So let's be realistic. What would be the best case scenario? Let's say you do hit on a quarterback. What does that quarterback look like? Like is he Matt Ryan? He wins one MVP and then he struggles for the rest. Is he? Russell Wilson is too high. I can't go there. Is it Josh Allen? Is it Kirk Cousins? Like, give me a name of a quarterback. Like, what do you think your quarterback situation is going to look like? You can sit there and go, oh, I want him to be Drew Brees. Well, they didn't draft Drew Brees. New Orleans didn't draft Drew Brees. He got hurt. Everybody turned him down. They didn't think he was going to be able to play because
Miami
of his rotator cuff.
Yep.
Yeah, Nick Saban could be the best coach in the history of the NFL, not
That's
college.
Right. Still could be in the NFL, right?
So he chose Culpepper instead. For some reason, he did. So I don't know. I just feel the odds of you don't have to have
bridge to nowhere.
Yeah,
I'm not buying that.
Yes.
I think they look at it
Bridge
different.
To nowhere.
Yeah, I think they look at it differently because I think they know right now in the position they're in, they're not going to be able to move up high enough to get that one guy, and who knows, maybe that guy minds is
you're
Trevor
wording
Lawrence.
That wrong. They can. They can absolutely move up high enough. You know they can move up to four. Well, so
no,
you change
the Trevor
wording,
Lawrence?
They don't
to get
want
Trevor
to.
Lawrence? No, let's say they look at it and say, in this draft, Trevor Lawrence is the guy.
Oh, okay.
He's the guy. Yeah. He's the guy that we look at and say is low risk. To me, that's the one guy that you can look at in this draft and probably say that. They can't get to him. So are they going to reach for these other guys that they say, well, there's some positives. Maybe he can develop into this. I think Bill's got to be 100% sold on it.
Of course.
And you're already hearing it with Lombardi.
No, but
he's
not. Well, we'll see. I mean, Lombardi, you're right. I mean, if Lombardi's always in the ear of Bill Belichick, of course. But we've been through this before, and it's like if Bill doesn't like the quarterback, Lou, he's not going to take him. No bleep. Like, he's not going to take a quarterback at the fourth or fifth best quarterback just because he needs one if he doesn't think he can play.
You've got better sources than me. Like,
that's
good
obvious.
Luck.
That's obvious. All well, I'm saying is I like for them to identify a guy, be aggressive, and go get him. So I can have a little bit of hope when I watch crap at quarterback here this year with Cam Newton. A little bit of hope knowing that there's a guy behind him that actually might be able to play football that I believe Josh McDaniels and Bill Belichick looked at and said, this is a guy. Yeah, this is a guy I can win with team. Because the Garoppolos, the Winstons, you know, the Mariota next offseason when all these guys are available and the Cam Newton discussion ain't winning you anything.
And I'm not buying the Cam Newton as your starter, and that's what a lot of people are saying. And, you know, we'll get the phone calls from those people who are protective of Cam Newton.
So the
he's
same thing
be much
last
better.
Year in August.
It's not COVID and all this other stuff. Tommy Curran talked about this today with Gresh and Keith.
Tom, what are the chances that the Patriots go into camp this year with just Cam Newton and Jarrett Stidham on the quarterback depth chart?
Nil. No way. They're going to add someone. They're going to add someone in the draft. I would think certainly by the fourth round, there would be a quarterback. And if not, that means stay loose for Teddy Bridgewater or Jimmy Garoppolo or whoever else might be coming in. But, you know, I think Cam Newton's contract announces to everyone with a bullhorn, we're not looking at this guy as our starter unchallenged. He has to win that job.
I agree with him 100%.
Okay, well,
100%.
So don't I. What do you say? Yeah,
100%.
No, it is.
What do you say? It's not going to be Newton and Stidham? Of course not.
No, what he's saying, what they're going to do is they're probably going to get a quarterback in the third, fourth, fifth round. Lou,
third, fourth, or fifth round? Here we go again.
That's what they're going to do.
But let me
that's
ask you a question.
That's what they're going to do. And again, I think they've got all eyes on San Francisco waiting for the next move because I think that is where they want to pounce. They're playing a game of chicken right now with the 49ers with Jimmy Garoppolo.
If the Patriots bring in a second, third, or fourth round quarterback, does anyone here believe that there's actually a competition at quarterback between kid and Cam?
You got to be real damn lucky.
How about if Jimmy Garoppolo was here or Teddy Bridgewater?
Well, then Cam's not your quarterback.
Yeah,
right? Cam's gone.
There you go.
It's not even a competition.
There you go. And but, I think that's what the plan is right now.
I don't think that's the plan.
Well, but...
So the third, fourth, or fifth round pick? But here's the thing, though. Just to kind of, like, take, Glenn's side for a second. I think people are pushing the issue of, hey, this is the year. Strike while the iron's hot. Hurry up. This is the draft. You need to do it. If you miss out, we're 10 years of just subpar, below 500 games. Like, no. They have time. They could miss. They could skip it. They could draft, miss, and they still have an opportunity in free agency, and they have an opportunity for another draft. I don't think this is the be-all, end-all as far as the draft go, finding Tom Brady's replacement.
Think Bill dives in to say like a $35, $40 million free agent quarterback?
I don't think the number is $35, $40 million.
So a mediocre quarterback.
But listen, the price of doing business in the NFL for a quarterback is a good one that you can rely on. Okay, is $20 million with some adjustments with their
salary.
They
suck. They know. They suck, though, right? Like they.
No, I don't.
You don't win with those guys.
Why? Why don't you win with those guys?
Who are they? Winston?
Okay, not Winston.
Tannehill?
Yes, you can win with Tannehill.
So if Tannehill doesn't work in Tennessee, and there's reasons why, like, you know, Vrabel looks at it and says, can't win with him, we're going to dive back into the draft, or we're going to trade and get this, you know, Deshaun Watson, or whatever. You're going to sit there and say, we can't win with him? Like, all these teams are finding out they can't win with these mediocre quarterbacks, but you think you can?
You can. Can the Minnesota Vikings win with the, they've won. They haven't won the whole thing.
Can't.
But Kirk Cousins was playing great for
them.
They
can't.
And they kept paying him over and over and over again.
But don't you think they know they can't win with him?
No, I think they
can't win with him.
Listen, but here's the thing. Then you could sit there and give me, I can give you example after example of, you know, future Hall of Fame quarterbacks that only won one. Aaron Rodgers keeps getting bounced. Drew Brees keeps getting bounced.
The reason why I think people look at it and say,
Kirk Cousins.
This is the year is because next year we're going to have, you know how hard it's going to be to move from 24 to get in the top 10 and get one of these quarterbacks? It ain't going to happen. And hopefully, this is the last time you pick 15. This is it. Like, so it's the best chance you got moving up to 6, 7, 8, you know, if you like one of these quarterbacks, the fourth quarterback on the board, you know, if you like them. But if you're 24, you don't want to be 15 ever again. So, yeah, and if not, it's going to be, okay, then you know what? Keep drafting quarterbacks in the third or fourth round. Maybe you get lucky. You know, maybe that's the plan. and just try to live with the Newtons, live with the Garoppolos, live with the Mariotas, and keep taking shots. You know, release Stidham, draft a kid in the third round, see what he looks like. After 2 years, release his ass, draft another guy in the third round, and just maybe
see,
you get.
But see, even if they drafted one of these guys, it wouldn't be like this year you're a Super Bowl contender.
Next year.
Next year? Second year with the quarterback?
Yeah.
How many of these young quarterbacks in
all
the second year? Or lead you to a Super Bowl?
I don't know. Mahomes, Lamar Jackson was really good. Yeah, I mean, year one. You know,
yeah, and he had trouble MVP. And he still doesn't want to play.
I get it. So you don't think Bill can coach him up better than the other guys?
No, and I think Bill looks at it.
Because John Harbaugh's a terrible coach.
Yeah, he looks at it and he probably says, I can find.
Andy Reid's a terrible coach.
I can find a Russell Wilson in the third round. I can go and do
that.
I
think if young quarterbacks playing really well in this league, year one, year two. Really well in this league, year one, year two. And now Josh Allen's a guy who took year three. Year three used to be the when the quarterbacks took off, the young quarterbacks. I don't think it's year three anymore. I think it's year two, because the league and college football and NFL look very similar.
Let's separate Mahomes. Lamar Jackson has a unique skill set, and he was an MVP, but we all know that they're questioning in Baltimore whether they can win with him because of his style. Mahomes is in a department all by himself. We know that. These other quarterbacks are going to take time. I think what Bill's looking at, all he wants to do is get better at that position this year. Better than what Cam Newton was last year. I'm not sure he buys that Cam Newton, because of no COVID, is suddenly going to come in this year and be a much better quarterback. I think he's looking to get better. And that's why Jimmy G does make sense. Maybe Teddy Bridgewater. We don't know how they feel about Bridgewater. Maybe he's the answer. I think you're going to see Bill draft a quarterback in the third round. It's going to piss you off to no end.
Thanks,
Glenn. Yeah, welcome, Bill. All right, we'll get to your phone calls and get to more of this. Peter Schrager has an interesting mock draft. Where does he have the Patriots going? We'll take it coming up next.